Good evening. It's November 9th, 2015. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. I'm the chair, Bob Lederer, and I'd like to ask our secretary, Michael Novick, to please call the roll.
Okay. Riley Abbott, WPFW. Teresa Allen, KPFT. Sorry, earlier. Teresa Allen. Maybe she's muted.
Allen is here.
Jim Brown, WPFW. Got it. Jim Brown, WPFW. Maria Elena Castellanos, KPFT. Janet Coleman, WBAI. Marion Douglas Ngaro, WPFW.
Here.
Jose Luis Fuentes Roman, KPFA. Tej Graywall, KPFK. Mark Hernandez, KPFA. Is that a reply? No. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA. Janet, somebody just come on?
Yes, it's Aljoy.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Aljoy Williams.
Oh, okay.
National Election Supervisor.
Right, calling the roll. Janet Coburn, KPFA.
Present.
Bob Letter, WBAI, is the chair. Present. Frank Lefevre, WBAI. Michael Nova, KPFK, is the secretary. Present. Lawrence Reyes, KPFK. Not on yet. Serene Roberts, WBAI.
Present.
Nancy Zabarnaritomi, KPFT.
Present.
Peter Tucker, WPFW. That's only seven, so we don't have a quorum, but I think we want to hear the report. And
okay. Thank you, Michael. So in the absence of a quorum, we are entitled to listen to information if we so choose. We can't take any action. We can't take votes except to set the date of our next meeting. And we had a little bit of talk before we got on the stream, and we can check in on that now as to whether there would be any objection to having a report from the National Election Supervisor, questions and answers, any discussion that flows out of that. But unless and until we get a quorum, then we wouldn't be able to adopt motions except about the date of the meeting, next meeting. So is there any amendments?
Have amended information?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How many is the quorum now?
Michael?
Quorum is 10. We have
10.
7.
Okay, thank you.
This is Marion in Washington.
Yes.
I'm trying to contact other members from our LSB.
Oh, so. Thanks. I did place a couple calls. Left.
Okay. Them. All right. I'm actually sending email. All
okay,
right.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So is there any objection to proceeding in the way I outlined? Okay. Hearing none, then that's what we'll do. So why don't we start with Aljoy Williams? You can take as much time as you need for your report, and then we'll have questions. And it's up to you, Aljoy, if you want to segment it and take questions partway through, or you want to just hold everything till the end. Do you have a preference?
You know, I think, particularly as I sent it out, we can do by section.
Okay.
Because that would also help me. Yeah, that would be helpful. If
sure.
You can do by section. So if everyone can... you know, I'll do the sections and then just do questions specific to that particular section. That'd be helpful.
Okay.
All right. So first, this is not in any particular section, and I have made mention of this previously, but it certainly bears repeating that the culture at Pacifica is a very hostile work environment, not only for myself, but for the LESs, which makes an already, you know, this is a not a terribly difficult job, but it requires a lot of logistics and moving parts, and certainly the atmosphere, the working environment is not very encouraging, particularly, you know, myself and the LESs were very excited to work with Pacifica, particularly on this election. And, you know, I can say, you know, dealing with certain individuals and non-responsive of certain staff and things is worse than dealing with my now first child who is 2 months old and who won't go to sleep sometimes in the middle of the night. Certainly this will be in my final report, but it certainly bears repeating that the nastiness, the name-calling, the just outright disrespect has just been atrocious, and it continues to escalate. And it is just not a very pleasant work environment. So again, it bears repeating, and I'll repeat it as much as possible until it gets better. But moving on to the report, the first section is on the voter list. These are updates from the overall ballot mailing and online voting thus far, as well as looking ahead to the ballot count and replacement ballot procedures as necessary. So the first section being the voter list. I'm sure that this committee has heard numerous times and from reading previous reports from LESs and the NESs that the list received from the stations is always the most, requires the most work in the elections process, and this process was no different. In addition to basic cleanup of a list, which is, you know, standardizing the addresses or removing blatant duplicates or things of that nature, there are a number of problems with compiling the eligible voter list that has been mentioned in the past that I don't know what other additional information the board needs in order to force action on this. But it's something that significantly causes the election delays and other problems. One of which, and I'm not going to read verbatim the section because you have it, but one of which is that the first issue is knowing who to get the list from. It's relatively easy, a basic conversation. I do receive a station management list or a station contact list, and so it is my assumption, or it was my assumption, that the paid voter list is easy to get from either the database manager or whoever, or asking the general manager who maintains that list. The additional question of staff, both paid and unpaid, or volunteers, at some stations required, the burden was on me to find out who was the specific person who was the keeper of the list. And so in some instances, where I sent station management the memo requesting the list and information, a staff member would reply back, here's the paid list, but you have to talk to someone else about the volunteer list because I don't do that. Well, then who does it? Oh, I don't know. And then I have to go to the general manager and ask, and then they point a person. And then who keeps the unpaid staff, you know, list? It's sort of a back and forth. And so a standardized process for, you know, during the elections process of who is the person or persons that a list needs to be compiled from and sent to the NES or LES is definitely needed. I'll make the additional note of the unpaid staff list. I find it just extremely, I don't understand how so many people could work or volunteer at a station and the station not keep names, addresses. There's some on the list, but there are no full addresses for staff or unpaid staff, you know, besides email addresses, which I know not everyone has. And even with parties knowing that an election is coming up and that information is needed, you know, people waited until, you know, the deadline to then send a list that was incomplete and then ask for additional time to fill in addresses. So that process significantly contributes to the burden of the NES and the LESs, and that's something that the board or this committee needs to seriously address if you haven't already or put some protocols in place for stations to comply with it. The list as we received, there were a number of things done to quote clean the list. There was the running through systems to remove obvious duplicates where, you know, both the name and address matched, slight differences, junior or senior, things of that nature. Unfortunately, for our best efforts to remove duplicates, there are still some that remained on the list that was submitted. Examples may have been, it's the same name, but there's two different addresses. You know, we don't know everyone personally, so we don't know if there is a Mark Smith both on River Drive and Concord Drive. We don't know that, so we leave them both. Or an instance where a name is slightly different or an address is slightly different and not able to be caught in the cleaning process, or a maiden and married name, differences those kinds of examples are ones that may have remained. The lists were also run through national change of address, standardized, as well as added things that were obvious missing information in terms of a zip code, the zero missing on the zip code, or the state missing in the address. So as of today, you'll see in the email that I sent, it's just a brief comparison of the first section shows the total voters from 2012, as in 2015, the number of voters that were sent to me from the stations. The section that says 2015 voters mailed, that is after the cleaning process and after also the mail house went behind me and tried to find additional addresses and information in the system that they had, or kicked out things that had incomplete names or addresses. So that is the difference between the 2015 voters and the 2015 voters mailed. Next section is the number of voter emails. Those are the email addresses that are attached to a voter record in the database as well. You'll notice an asterisk next to KPFA. They did on their staff list submit a staff list that had more email addresses than just 29. For some reason, some of which happened that when the lists were uploaded, some of the email addresses were not added to the system. You'll notice in the note to make sure that we can fix that. We are adding those manually and updating the system so that we can then resend the email to those who hadn't received it. We make regular audits and updates to the system. When I get into online voting, I'll talk a little bit more about that. But as duplicates are found and other information or people alert us to that information, we make the necessary corrections and also keep extensive track of every change and every update that is made that will be in the final report. So any questions on the voter list?
Janice.
Go ahead.
Michael.
Yes. Teresa Allen. So,
okay, I heard all of you. Go ahead, Janice.
Some staff members have made donations to their station and our listener members as well. Were they sent two ballots, one for the staff election and the other for the listener election, or was there some debriefing?
Sure.
Regarding that?
So in case in there was a general matching of trying to find names and addresses on the staff list that were obviously staff people and removing them from the listener list. we weren't able to catch them all. For instance, your chair, Bob Lederer, was one of them. He was listed both on the staff voter list and on the listener list because he had contributed previously. The reason why he was left on and we didn't catch it is because the address was slightly different. So it didn't catch in us trying to find the duplicate. And so in instances, as mentioned in the online voting section, when Bob sent the email regarding that, we were able to immediately flag the listener credentials, and it's invalidated. So even if he tried to vote on the listener ballot, it would not record.
Thank you.
Okay, Michael.
Yes, I was curious about the listing of members. Let me see if I can find the report again. Hang on a second. It was quite a substantial discrepancy for KPFK between the number of staff on the list and the number of voters mailed. And I'm trying to figure out if that was because a lot of the staff had emails and therefore were not mailed.
It's a combination of missing. I know particularly at KPFK there are a number of missing mailing addresses, and some that we had email addresses. So there are also a number of people. I remember that specifically for KPFK. That there were, you know, people's names and email addresses or people's just names. So there's nothing we can, at least that I can do, in terms of that information.
I understand that. I've been trying for years to get them to put the list up so it can be corrected and updated. But what I'm trying to ask you is this. You have two columns, 2015 voters mailed and then the number of voter emails. And so for the staff.
Right. So for, you have 195 valid emails, but only 183 printed. So that 2015 voters mail is actually 2015 printed ballot.
Yes. I understand that, but I'm saying, there people who got emails but did not get printed ballots so that the total number of staff who got some kind of ballot it's closer
correct
to the 69, but
correct.
You don't know what that is, or could you tell us what that is? Not necessarily tonight.
No, correct. There are people who did not get printed ballots but may have gotten an email ballot, and there are also people who we have names and no email addresses or no mailing address.
Right. So what I'm still trying to get at is how many people on the staff list have not gotten a ballot in any shape or form.
Oh, period. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
That's something I would have to make note of to get. Sure.
It's not complete for data. The cumulative data doesn't count.
Understood.
Yeah, can I just ask it, El Joy, that you, for your next report, you put a fifth column that has the total number of ballots sent by either means.
Got it. Okay.
Great. Thanks. Okay, Teresa.
Hold on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay. I'm very concerned because we seem to be complaining, and I'm not sure that anyone is making sure that the job is getting done. And there's a lot at stake here. These employees who are not doing their job and giving you the proper list, they are costing the foundation a lot of money and undermining the election. I do not understand why they have not been reported to their general managers who should make sure the job gets done. I do not understand. In fact, if we had an executive director, I would expect this executive director to be writing people up. Are we not being specific enough about who is actually obstructing here? Because I consider this
obstruction. I would like to know, if it's KPFT, then I should be sitting in front of our general manager tomorrow morning saying, what are you going to do to fix the problem? And twice now on the PNB, and now you're telling me there's a problem, but you're not being specific about who's doing it. Are you taking appropriate action to make sure that the job gets fixed? And I'm not talking about the next election. I'm talking about now. You know, I'm relying upon you to actually make these people do their jobs, or they're going to be written up.
Well, as you know, I can't write people up. But
yes,
from,
I know that.
You know, from my from my communication, when I have had issues or responses, I have either sent messages directly to the executive director or, you know, the previous executive director. You know, as I had issues or as I was requesting information, I, you know, specifically outlined and said, I have not received a list from this particular station. I have not received, you know, so we respond. I'm getting ready to send another email now about on-air forums for KPFK. The reason why we don't have a schedule for that is because station management was not responding and compliant with the local election supervisor, right? So, you know, as the information where I don't have it or we're requesting it and not getting a response, I send that specifically to the executive director or CC them in order to communicate that information.
Well, let me ask you this just specifically. Have you gotten the information that you needed from KPFT's general manager?
Okay, hold on one second.
Point of order.
Yeah, there's a point of order. Go ahead, Serene.
You can't discuss staff performance on an open call.
Right.
Well, I hope to God that if there are any specifics about the complaint that Joy is expressing, that she is going to get specific now. Call them up. Have a staff meeting with the general managers and have the interim ED on the phone and get on the same page, because I really want this election to work. And, you know, I'm placing a lot of trust in our national election supervisor, and I want them to give you what you need. If you need to be more specific and work it out with the IED, I highly suggest that you do so. Don't let these people give you the runaround and undermine our election.
Okay. Who else has questions?
Serene, for the staff.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, thanks. Thought I was muted. Unmuted, rather. Hi, Aljoy. How are you?
Hello.
So here's my question. I noticed in the report you said something about the vendor is going to scan all the ballots and do the tabulation rather than
the local. No, I'm just doing questions on the voter list right now.
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
Okay, then, Aljoy, I guess.
Well, no, I'm sorry. Let me ask.
Oh, all right.
When you say that for WBI that there were 8 valid emails, do you mean you got 8 email addresses or only 8 of the addresses?
Yes. Were? So for the list received from WBAI, it did not, the voter, the listener category did not have email addresses. And you may remember that when we had the delay of mailing of the ballots, I asked stations, or I reported that I asked stations if they had a separate email list, that if they could send that to me, that since we had the delay, that I could try, you know, to use my software to match names with email addresses, in order to, you know, update records for that. I did not receive an email list. A separate email list from WBAI, nor the listener category list they sent me did not have email addresses attached to it. It was just names and mailing addresses.
Okay, Serene, is that, were you done?
I'm sorry, repeat that last sentence. It did not have what attached?
The listener list sent to me mm-hmm. had name and mailing address. It did not include an email list. Like for majority of the stations, if they had a column for email address. And if an email address existed in that person's record, it was included. The list received from WBAI did not have a column for email addresses.
Okay.
Were you done, Serene?
Yeah, puzzled, but finished.
Well, I have a follow-up, actually. So the reason... Not the reason, but did you, Eljoy, did you follow up with WBAI and ask?
I did.
And what was the response?
The response I received was that I would get it, and then I asked again, and I did not receive it.
Okay. All right, so why don't you go on to the next section?
Sure.
I'm sorry, Michael, second.
Sorry, hold on, Eljoy. Go ahead, Michael.
Sure.
Well, I want to say two things. One is, I want to respond to your opening comments about the very negative work environment for you all, and I want to apologize to you on behalf of Pacifica because I think it's really terrible that you're getting mistreated for doing this work for us. The second thing I want to say is that the responsibility for having a membership list is not just for the election. We've repeated this over and over again in this committee. The California Elections Code requires nonprofits like Pacifica to maintain a list of their members at their headquarters. And, you know, it shouldn't fall on you to enforce that requirement. They have to know who their members are and how to reach them. That's all.
So just a final note on the voter list before I go to the next section is obviously it goes without saying that once the election is over, we have the final list that was updated. I will then also send the final list back to the station so that they can update their records accordingly. You know, there were a number, you know, misspelled names, or obviously updated mailing addresses, email addresses that weren't previously attached to a member record that are now attached, things of that nature. So we will then send the clean list back to the station after the election so that hopefully they can update it, deceased names, things of that nature. So that's just the final on that. So the next section is online voting. So, as you know, online voting officially opened on October 22nd, and on that day, every eligible voter that was in the system that had an email address attached to their record, and obviously those presumably who signed up for online voting received an email announcing that the online voting was open, and it also included their password information. So this is, you know, totally our, or I should say, my blind spot, both myself and the vendor. We did not expect that voters would then forward the emails they received. And that compromised a number of people's voting information because the email included not only text passwords, the password, the unique password for the voter in the text, but also as an ease of use for the voter, it included a direct link. So the link was not only the link to the voting site, but also their password in the link so that you could click it and go directly to voting. It's an ease of use option that is, you know, an option in industry standard. Just as an example, I am, you know, you know, owns, you know, a shareholder in a number of places. And when I opt to vote online, that is an option as well. So it's not out of the ordinary. However, I do understand that because this is the first time Pacifica offered this option, and again, we did not expect that voters would then forward this information and therefore it compromised their voting information. So in response to that, as one, to protect the voting information integrity of voters as it is alerted to us that the emails were forwarded or they believe that their information was compromised, we can reset a user's password so that the system generates the new information, as well as make a link invisible so that a person could not then use a link to go on and view that voter's receipt. In the future, we have removed the direct link option in any further email. We've also added, those of you who may have received an email today, a reminder email today, see that we've added in big, bold, and red letters at the top and at the bottom, do not forward message to alert the voter that this is the information enclosed in the email is specific to you and it could compromise your information. So, again, that was, you know, totally a blind spot on me and both myself and the vendor being not prepared that voters would possibly do that. Voters have also replied. The reply email address is my email address, thenes@pacifica.org, with any issues they have in receiving information asking questions about voting, as well as any other questions that they have about Pacifica. Some of the initial emails we received, I'm sorry, I do not have a number of emails received for this manner because it wasn't something in my purview, but a number of voters complained that they became a paid member simply to get a specific premium or gift, and it was not received. Obviously that's not in my purview. I asked the executive director who should those messages go to. The interim executive director said to forward them to her and she would follow up or send it to the necessary party. So that is what happens. If someone complains or did not receive any information or asking specific information about a station, it is sent to the interim executive director who then follows up or, I guess, sends it to whatever respective station. As I mentioned in the voter list information, people also responded back with corrected information. If, you know, an email address was attached to the wrong record, and this not being an error on our part, that was my first fear, was that the list was uploaded to the voting database and there was some kind of miscalculation and we uploaded wrong information. But it seems that so far, if people responded that this email address doesn't belong to this person, it was that email address was sent to me that way, attached to a specific record. So we had no way of knowing if it was the right person or not. And additional information could be a family using the same email address and correcting other information. So I keep an extensive database of each of these occurrences. It's what we call the voter help desk in cases. As of today, there are 44 of them. And then I keep a detailed report not only on receiving the information, but any steps that we've taken to either fix a situation or not. So if someone sends an email and says, we received the email, but only information for one voter at this household, but both myself and my wife are members, their information is verified. You know, we send additional information and we keep notes on that. So that detailed report of each of those voter help desk cases will be included as an addendum in my final report, so that there is an extensive record of each of those, how each of those cases were handled. Additionally, the system itself, the online voting system, keeps a detailed record of any time I've logged into the system and changed anything, as well as voters logging in and voting and things of that nature. So there is a number of backups. So even if the system is or the election is audited or looked at, you can see specific information, whether it's myself, the vendor, or anyone making any changes. There is a detailed record of every change that's made. So that's one of the benefits of having this online platform. It's not only as we find duplicates or able to correct errors, but we're also able to enfranchise any additional voters who may have missed prior deadlines or we find out information afterwards. I mentioned earlier in the voter list that there are people where we have names or in corresponding shows that they work on, but no mailing address or email address. If one of those people shows up tomorrow or before the deadline and says, yes, I'm that person, here's my email address, we can immediately add it to their voter record or to the system, and either the system will generate them an email to send them information for them to cast their vote, or if they opt for a printed ballot, a printed ballot will be sent to them in time to cast their vote. It also allows us, as I mentioned previously, as we find duplicates and errors, to invalidate those ballots, so that they will not be counted in the overall count. A reminder email, just and some of you may have received that, was sent to the listener category voters at WBAI, KPFT, and KPFA. It included the dates of the upcoming on-air forums. When we have the information for KPFK, it'll be sent to that as well. And as of this week, I will be doing weekly posts on the election website and sent also to the board and the committee of turnout numbers as they come in. So there is a little chart that as of 8:15 today, the number of votes that have been cast in the election. I'm sure we have questions on this section, so I'll stop there.
Janet, please.
Okay. Let me just start with a clarification. Yes.
Franklin Fever, I'm just calling in.
Okay. I got you.
I had a different board meeting.
Okay.
So I have an anomalous report about an anomalous.
Okay, hold on, Frank. Hold on. We're taking a stack. And first, I just want to clarify one thing about the chart that Al Joy just told us about. This voter turnout tally is a combination, is just online, or does it actually, it's too early to count any ballots, right?
Yeah, I mean, there have only been a few paper ballots over the weekend, and I thought I would be able to log in and see the differences between a paper ballot and an email ballot, but I need to go back through my tutorial that the vendor sent me in order to find that number, but following updates will include that separation. So there have only been a handful, and it just occurred over the weekend, which is the emails I sent earlier today, which some people starting to receive them, is because they used the code from their printed ballot to log in and actually cast their vote.
Okay, thanks. All right, go ahead, Janet.
Yeah, thanks. So two things. One, I was the one who brought the forwarding of the emails with the ballot information to your attention. When I forwarded mine to ask you a question about it, and I wanted to know whether my online ballot had been reset.
Ah, okay. Then I can find that out okay. While we're talking. Okay.
Okay, and then the other thing is, based on what I've heard from some listeners in KPFA land today, I think only the candidates received your reminder email. So,
at KPFA?
Yeah.
Because I have, I definitely have, bounce back or response emails from in KPFK. I mean KPFA.
Anyway, I think, well, if you can look into that, or if I learn that I'm wrong, I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay. Who else for the stack?
Alan for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Eljo, I want to apologize again also, as someone previously had, for any treatment that has been rude and abusive. And I think that I hope you document that so that action can be taken, because often that kind of behavior is used to put people on the defensive. So it hides, it's an attempt to hide the fact that some other people are not doing their job. So hang in there and persevere and be specific if people are actually being obstructive and evasive about information that you need to get your job done. Thank you.
Okay. Who else?
Thank you.
Stack?
Am I somewhere in the stack?
Go ahead, Frank.
Oh, okay. As you may know, I've put out queries on, half a dozen different lists in the BAI area, asking people to tell me if they've received a ballot. I finally today got one report of somebody having received a ballot, a paper ballot in the mail. However, it kind of raises questions. One question is the wording. The cover letter begins, "Thank you for supporting KPFA with your hard-earned dollars, but with your voice. Please vote for the list of candidates." Hello?
That's the email or the printed ballot?
Paper. This is a paper cover letter in the mail, okay? Please vote for the list
of... WBAL.
Okay. Well, I haven't finished the sentence.
Janica, point of information.
Janica, wait till the person is done. Go ahead, Frank.
Please vote for the listener candidates running for WBAI's local station board, parenthesis LSB. At least they got that right. Now, this person, to his knowledge, never supported KPSA. Now, they... wait a minute. I may be wrong. This may have been, he said in the mail, but they gave an online password to vote if I wish, or a paper ballot. The thing is, now here's the real kicker. He says, "I've already voted in the staff election online with a different password. I didn't think I was allowed to vote in both elections." A nice touch is the inclusion of a flyer from ex-ED John Prophet asking Pacific Border supporters to pay for the cost of the election.
Okay.
I have a
point of information.
It directly relates to this question?
Yes.
All right, go ahead quickly.
I thought this section was about online voting, and this question is not online voting.
Well, it appears Frank came on to the call late, so I'll allow Eljoy to answer.
I think there's another part of the report where it's
yes.
paper ballot.
Go ahead,
okay.
Eljoy.
Thank you.
In response to that, so I am aware of the vendor sent one email to the WBAI category that did have errors. But that was the email, not the printed ballot. So what you just read is I'm aware of and have already documented to the vendor that they copied and pasted, into the system. And so to the WBAI section, that was the language in the email that was sent on October 22nd. In terms of the actual printed ballot,
because I received a WBAI, you know, ballot information at the at my office today because I put myself on all of the lists, and that was not the case on the printed material. So just from a clarification, it could have been the email that the person received. Now, as far as them, if they've already voted in the staff election and their name also appeared on the listener section, unless there was some discrepancy, their listener ballot could also be already invalidated. As and I mentioned that in the previous in the previous section of the report.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Okay.
No problem.
So
that is a good reminder that, you know, that as those information and that information comes up, it allows we have a system, we have systems and protocols in place to ensure that duplicate duplicate votes aren't counted, and two, that duplicate votes across categories aren't counted as well.
Okay, so if there's no other questions on this section, let's have Eljoy go on to her next section.
I would like to say something,
okay,
Alan.
Go ahead.
I just want you to know I just got my ballot today in the mail.
Okay.
Wonderful.
All right. Go ahead, Eljoy.
Okay. Next section was replacement ballot. So obviously, you know, as I mentioned, and I've sent a couple of update emails today, you know, as many folks have been emailing me about not receiving the ballots, you know, certainly I have been bugging both the mail house and the online vendor about this as well. They believe that majority of voters will receive their printed ballots in the mail this week. And just as a reminder, we had this discussion when we, you know, discussed the bulk mail option, that while this is a cost-saving measure, it also just means that we're subject to each post office delivery on bulk mail. And this is not just, you know, because people, just to clarify this for people and anybody you talk to about this is not just the post office in which the ballots were mailed from. This also includes the your local post office. So if your local post office only delivers bulk mail on a particular day or does it in a different, like, that's different from, that's what we're subject to. It's not just the post office that the mail was sent from. So that's just a clarification because somebody asked me to call the post office to see if the stuff is sitting in the, you know, somewhere. And I was like, that requires to call every, you know, post office, every zip code in order for that to happen. So that's just a clarification from there. So you may have seen I emailed and also posted on the election website that, you know, after we're giving it until Thursday, after Thursday, on Friday, there will be a note in a form added onto the elections website that if you have not received a printed ballot, you know, to request a printed ballot be sent to you, and we'll start processing replacement ballots at that time. Again, if people want to vote online, or there are some people that have commented or sent in email they didn't know or just finding out that online voting was an option. And so they're saying, well, I didn't get my printed ballot, but here's my email address. Can you add it to the record so that I can just cast my vote? Printed ballots, the replacement ballots, obviously will not be sent bulk mail. When we receive that information and we verify that the request, the replacement printed ballot will be sent by regular first class mail on the next business day of the request, unless it is less than 2 weeks from the ballot deadline. So in the 2 week window from the ballot deadline, I will send the ballot by priority mail to ensure that the voter receives it in time to cast their vote. For online voting, and we offer that option to folks if they haven't received their ballot, you know, we can usually process or have the system send the email with their information within a, you know, if it's if I'm in the office, you know, it can be done immediately. You know, if we've already left the office, it'll be done the next morning. So that's pretty much the procedure. So after, just to restate, after Thursday, on Friday, the form will go up to request a replacement ballot, either request a printed replacement ballot, or to request your voter login information online. So that's on replacement ballots. Any questions on that?
I have a question about the statement in your report that says, I had an update on the website that if a voter had not received their printed ballot in the mail by this Thursday, November 12th, that I would take the necessary actions to push back the return date for the ballots. Now, I'm a little confused how that would work. So somebody, let's say, hypothetically, on Friday, the 13th, somebody emails you and says, I still haven't gotten my printed ballot. So then how do you decide what the new return date is based on one?
Yeah.
And is it just based on one person, or is there a threshold?
No. My apologies.
Yeah.
No, my apologies. That should have been a little bit more detail. You know, where we were last week where, you know, no one had heard anyone had received their ballot. So this was if by Thursday we're still in a situation where no one had any information, you know, had received ballots, or no one had heard or seen anybody receive ballots, or myself and the vendor being able to look in the database and see that there are people without an email address that may have keyed in a code, meaning that they have received it by mail, then we would make the decision to push back the return date. Because, you know, the majority of people wouldn't be receiving their ballot on time. So I'm sorry, that required a little bit more detail. So it would not be just one individual. So one individual, you know, saying, I haven't received my ballot and therefore we're pushing the election back. It was more of a collective action.
But can you clarify a little bit on what criteria you'll make that decision? Like, do you have in your mind a threshold of, if you get X number of reports of no ballots, or, you know, or are you going to wait and see?
I think it's a combination of the, like I mentioned, you know, the threshold of people saying they haven't received, as well as us being, you know, obviously, you know, those of you who are on the call or on the board and very active, you know, both in email and online, but we can go in and see if people we had no email address for a particular voter or a particular section of voters, and now they've actually voted, you know, that means that they received materials in the mail. That is the only way that they were able to get their, you know, information in order to cast a vote. So if we see it's a combination of the people not complaining, not receiving, as well as us seeing, okay, people have received their ballots and starting to vote. You know, there's a higher chance of people voting as soon as they receive the information, as soon as they receive their ballot materials. So it gives us an indication of that the ballots have been received. So, for instance, we were able to say by looking at it this morning, oh, there's a certain section of people that received their printed ballots over the weekend because there were a number of votes over the weekend. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Janet?
Okay. At the October 8th election committee meeting, you said that instead of the ballots reaching the voters on October 15th, that the ballot mailing would occur on October 15th. And then you reported at last Thursday's PND meeting that the ballots were sent in batches, where the staff ballots were mailed the first day, I assume that was October 15th, and the rest were mailed the next day. According to the bylaws, the voters should have 45 days from the date the ballots are mailed to submit them. Given the bulk mail delay this year, where today is 26 days after the ballots were mailed, 26 days, and most voters have yet to receive their ballots, That means that they will have less than a month to return their ballots. When in past years, ballots arrived a few days after the ballots were mailed, and voters had had close to 45 days to vote. So I urge you to consider extending the ballot return deadline for all voters and not just based on requests for replacement ballots.
I have a question.
Is that Serene?
Yes, sorry.
Okay.
Excuse me, can the NES respond to my...
I thought it wasn't a question.
I'd like you to, adding on, would you respond?
Okay. I'm sorry, go on.
Let's hear the response, and then I'll call on you.
Yeah, so
my question is with regard to...
Okay.
Doreen, you had a related question you wanted to add on?
Well, I have a point of clarification for El Joy. I did not take your statement to mean that you were going to have a different return date for the original people as opposed to, you know, for the people receiving the return ballots as opposed to people receiving
the replacement
ballots.
That is correct. That is correct. If I push that to the deadline, it will be for all voters.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. I'm urging you to consider not making an extended return date based on what happens with replacement ballots, but to right away extend the ballot return date.
And okay, so you're basically asking me to push back the election. Make the decision to push back the election today instead of making the decision to push back the election on Friday.
Right.
Because response is I'm going to wait until Thursday to determine or make an announcement of a pushback date. And you're saying you want me to do it now, just 3 days earlier.
Oh, I thought you had said that you were going to see what happens with requests for replacement ballots.
Not only replacement ballots, but all that I mentioned in that section. So if there are reports of people still massively not receiving ballots, if there's people commenting, so all of those things into consideration, and then I'm going to make a determination on Thursday whether or not to push it back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
May I also get on after whoever's speaking?
Yeah, I heard Lawrence first and then Serene. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. Hi, Ms. Williams. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a two-month-old that's now sleeping through the night, so achievement unlocked.
That's a miracle. Anyway, so I wanted to ask you that there's a possibility that you may have to extend the election over here at KPFK because we have not had any forms, on-air forms.
I'm aware and was able to have a conversation with the LES on some of the issues at KPFK. That's also an item I'm taking into consideration.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
I don't have a direct decision on that at this time. The LES and I are talking, repetitively over the next couple of days. We'll have some information by the end of the week.
Right, because the voters haven't been able to get educated or informed as to, how to inform their vote, so...
And there's none scheduled at this time yet either. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.